but yesterday we were talking a little bit about how many children a person has to have in order to perform the mitzvah puravu. So we mentioned that there's puravu, and then there's also shabbos, and then the Gemara in the sixth parable of Yevamos talks about the problem. Let's say a person maybe fulfilled everything. They had one child for shabbos, and they had two children, and they had a boy and a girl. The other day, mitzvah puravu. Is there a chiyuv to have more? Is it mitzvah to have more? So the Gemara quotes about something is that today that Rabbi Yeshua's opinion was. That the person that children who's younger, you should try to have more children against older. As it says the pasuk, the bokus razarech whatever tanakin adechla, the pasuk in Kehelas. So the Yeshua interpreted that to be not just in terms of a farm or planting, but in terms of zarek, so Shema zarek, don't have children. And so that's the principle of erev tanakin adechla. So it's machleik said today, whether that's even true. So we pasuk in the laws like Rabbi Yeshua. The question of favor is in Yibavis. That we passed it. Can you guys can hear with all the noise? Yes, a little bit of hiccup. If there's any problem, you know. So we passed it. The person with various like Rabbi Yeshua, that there is a mitzvah for Erev Al Tanach Yedecha. So there is a question in the Rishonim, how to understand what this mitzvah is, Erev Al Tanach Yedecha. Is this considered to be like a mitzvah deraisa? There's a pasuk in Kehelas, it always gets tricky. Whenever you have a pasuk in Navi or Tzuvim, is that a mitzvah deraisa? Or do I say no? So you have mitzvah in the rabbanon. So there is Rabbi Natav in the second part with the chasnida. Some of the guys were learning nidus here in the kolo. So there's Rabbi Natav that has a mechudish techeshida about the isra b'ashos hazera, that the isra of the Torah to destroy Hashem hazera. The Torah learns out this dinim from the psukim b'ashos vayeshem, the ma'aser there. But onan, there's a big mechudish that we showed him who exactly is applied, who's obligated, this Isser, who's been subed, this Isser Vashor of Sazera. Is this something that only applies to men, or is it something that can apply to women as well? Let's say if a woman is Mashor Sazera of a man or something, so would that be a violation of Vashor of Sazera? That's one of the very complicated things of birth control. A lot of the Shah's birth control revolve around some of those Nakudas as to what if the woman does the Mashor of Sazera rather than the man doing Mashor of Sazera. So when the Tam is a Chiddush, based on his reading of the Gemara, the Sechret of Ida, that women are not mitzubas on Ashkas Zara. Why? So then it's not understood that somehow the Issa of Ashkas Zara and the mitzvah of Purim go hand in hand. That Ashkas Zara is, it's almost like it's like the fifth will be a dying of Purim. It's like the ultimate mitzvah of having children is to destroy the Zara's ability to have children. So then it says, the men who are moved as an Issa of Ashkas Zara, that's for man, it's for Purim. Whereas a woman who's not Machayav Purim is not. Would not be obligated in the Isra of Ashkos Zera. So, Chiddush Bob Rabbi Nadav, maybe you should disagree with me. So, the Taizar Rosh, in the beginning of the second part of Eid, they asked the question, according to Rabbi Nadav, so what would you do to me? Let's say a person already had children. This guy's got 10 children already. So, there's no Isra Ashkos Zera. So, all the dinim of Erev Aina, that old Vash, and all the dinim of Zera, but none of that applies anymore because it's directly related for a boom. So, we think there's no one who says such a thing. So, come to the Zera and says, no, because what do you mean he's done with proof? He's supposed to have more children. So therefore, even a country in the top, it's not the same as a woman. A woman is not chayav as mechalal in Purim, whereas a man, even post having children, is still a barach. He's still a man chayuma. We can't be having other children. So that idea that the Russians using ma'arev to define the mitzvah deraisa, the mitzvah chazara, the deraisa, derived from pesukim and pashas the yeshiva. So the Taisa Russians explaining the dasim in the top that ma'arev al tanach edecha is megal to be. About something about the Yisra Mashkot Zerah, the level of their Isa. So he's clearly invoking this idea. He's learning the La'erb, something to the Fayatzba. So La'erb al Tanach is almost like a Hemshik approval. Like it's like a Kiyav approval. The bare bone minimum Kiyav is a boy and a girl. And post that, it's not a mitzvah for Fayatzba for La'erb al Tanach. Is an elaboration, it's an enhancement of the mitzvah of their Isa. It also has the status of their Isa. It can do that on the Dimim Mashkot Zerah for women. Just being not the standard of Ezra Rosh. Rabbi Shem disagreed. Rabbi Shem, right? It's only there. It's not the Rabbanim. It's not really mitzvah deraisa. No matter what it is, there still may be a fundamental difference between the basic two of mitzvah deraisa of Ravu and this era, but a very, very potentially important halacha l'maaseh ramifications as follows. The Rambam writes in his Mishus that let's say a man wants to go travel, wants to go learn for a few years. And he's not going to take his wife with him. Let's go off to like the days of the Gemara, something to do with the there. It's a struggle. He'll live for a long time. His wife's going to stay behind him. So the Rambam writes that first of all, he's chayav in the mitzvah of Onan. So she has to be mochelas. She has to be willing to go along with such a plan. Ben David Rambam says that it depends whether he has children or not. I mean, they just got married. Now a lot of people get married, they run off to Eretz as a couple. So the Rambam's describing, they just got married, so they go off to Eretz on his own. So the Rambam writes that you can't do that. Why? Because he knew she is white, so it's not going to work. Because it's mitzvah for a group. Once he's married, it's mitzvah for a group. So I'm going to be dally in love 5 years later. He's got to try to have children right away. So the Rambam writes that the chiyuv can work on the gabbai, the dinim of the mona, but it's not going to work on the gabbai, the dinim of Ruvu. This Bechaga, the Rambam writes that it's based on Mark Shubis that the chila will work for Oda. That doesn't mean as follows. There's a famous Bechaga that they know in person of the Kaddish and Isha, Abanash Eilach Lashem Sus for Oda. So the Bechaga is that they know him, well, let's say they know him, he makes it to Tanai and not. So we pass the Grammy that comes Tanai Shem Rambam Kayim. So if you make it Tanai, that the Kiddush will be Taisin, and there won't be a Chiva Shem Sus. Most of you should have learned that only you can't make it tonight. It's always a chatzar gof. It's not shy to make it tonight. The path to you from Oda. So the maid, even though she said it, he said it, she said it, yeah, they all agreed. But the mice at the end of it, it's a nice bubble. And he's mechuyev on it anyway. So the Mishnah Melech asks, according to the Rambam, mostly the Mishnah Melech, that there is mechid by Oda. That the woman can tell the man, they're married for 20 years, she said, go off there until for 6 months. So she has a right to be mechalas on Oda. So how come she can be mechal and Mishnah, she can be mechal here? So the answer is very punctual. There's a different machine that's going on there. But the Gemara is talking about in Kash Isha of Nasha Ilmachia to Tzvaina. What that means is that they're going to enter into a marriage relationship, but there's not going to be a Chayim as Tzvaina. The other one, she made it tonight, that she's Meichel the Shia Ksus and Yoina. So the Shia Ksus, the Tanai is called Tanai Shia Mom and Kayim. But once she's Mechelis, the game is over. He's never been 20 years from now. He's also not Mechelis to give a Shia Ksus. He wants to be a nice guy. He wants to change the terms. But if you didn't have this one, she was Mechel. She was Mechel. Like if I say to you, you owe me $100, and I'm Mechel the money. So once I'm Mechel, the game's over. So once she's Mechel, it's closer to Shaykh's Shaykh, it's over. So that kind of Mechel is not neat that I know. If it's not Mechel, if it's not Shaykh, then she's going to be Mechel. That's not really going to be a valid form of Mechel. So that means that you can't create a Mechel on Mechel, you have a void. But let's say Bashir Usham, if she's still Mechel, she says, listen, I'm not the official form of Mechel. But I'm telling you, I don't mean how lucky my mom is. I don't care. So the mitzvah of is what she wants. If she doesn't want it, she doesn't want it. So right now, she doesn't want it. So she says, go to Israel for 6 months. But she has retains the right to call back in 2 weeks and say she wants him to come back. That she has the right to do. So she can back out from that, quote unquote, mitzvah. It wasn't how lucky the mechil. It's not like the mechil and shirin. So it was a mean moment to think of mechil. But a good part of the din is that he's allowed to leave for a few months, a few years, as long as she gives me okay. So the Rambam writes, but then the Rambam, that's after they have children. Once they have children, before they have children, she can't do that. She's not a Bible to be Muslim, it's not there for a verb yet. So the Birkei Yosef, at the beginning of the answer, it's an Aleph, raised the question, that's what I said to Rambam. The Rambam says that, pre having children, you can't be Muslim. Post having children, boy and girl, then you can't be Muslim. Even post having children, you can't be Muslim. Before even the Rambam, Paskins, there is a mitzvah, the pastor could be sure. The Gemara pastor could be sure, since we have others. So the same way you can't be moichel on the mitzvah of Rabbi Yehuda, you have a right to be moichel on the mitzvah of Erevah Tanach Yedecha. So the Rabbi Yosef says, of course, we have to say that the two mitzvahs are very different from one another. Mitzvah for Ravu has to be done right away. Generally, the rule of mitzvahs is that you prohibit a mitzvah, so do the mitzvah right away. So that's not really valid. They get married, and then 3 years later, they can start to have children. That's Shulik Yedin. But when it comes to the mitzvah of Erevah Tanach, so the Erevah Tanach means that you're not supposed to end your childbearing career. Eventually, you reach a point where you have to end. Eventually, the health is going to give away. Age and health can give away to the fact you have to stop. But before that, you're not supposed to stop. Erevah Tanach is a mitzvah of Hanukkah. You're not allowed to declare that the game's over. There's no more children for now. It doesn't mean you have to have a child every single year. Once you have a boy and a girl, then you can space a little bit, then you can negotiate a little bit, then we can discuss a little bit. As long as you're not being meniach yotzah. So I want to say, I've been afraid for 2 years and learn, so that's okay, that's legitimate. But pre the kiyum of Peruvu, you can't do that, because that's like what you're supposed to do with the chiyubas. Once you finish Peruvu, it's just child error, so the nature of error gives you a chance to delay a little bit. One has to be honest with themselves with the Kiddush Baruch about this thing. Chum's going to say, in the woman's 30 years old, and they have 3 kids, and she's going to say, you know what, I'm not giving up on stopping from having more children. We're for sure going to continue to have more children. She calls the Birkei Yosef, and Ebenezer says, no problem. We're just putting things on hold for the next 25 years. So that's dishonest. She's going to wake up at the age of 55, why doesn't it work? So a person has to be honest that if they make a decision that's too long in spacing, even if they have children, so that's going to interfere with the very mitzvah of that Tanya. So obviously it's a very, very tricky question, so that has to be posed probably from Sakalacha. But it's very clear that the standards that we're going to use in terms of possibly these kinds of delaying, having children shilas, from pre-purvu or post-purvu are very different. From pre-purvu, you have to have a real, really super-duper-duper compelling reason to delay the movements of their ISA. So there aren't so many of those compelling reasons out there. But once a person already has a wedding bill, now it's just a question of they're not stopping having children, they're just playing a little bit with the dilla of Tachanecha, so that the Rebbeinu already is the Nachman's trauma. There's such a notion that may be a possible option. Again, obviously, case by case basis. I hope I get back to the basic mitzvah, two of the mitzvah Rebu. So the mitzvah Rebu is a very, very different mitzvah than a lot of mitzvahs in the Torah, in the sense that, at least according to some, it doesn't have a vice mitzvah per se. The Nechassidim, the mitzvah Aleph, is a famous thing you say, he develops that anything that's done in order to enable having children, even the Maisadi itself, it's not really the mice of mitzvah of Puruvu. It's not a shikimu, meaning matzo. It's more we get the hashem mitzvah. It's a chiddush in the chesed. The reason the chesed is a chiddush that even the mice of me is not really the mice of mitzvah. Puruvu is a mitzvah, doesn't really have the mice. Puruvu is a matzah. It's a situation, it's a status. A person has children that exist in the world, that's considered to be the mitzvah of Puruvu Arivia. Anything that goes into before it is only their hashem the alma. That's what the Chassidim thinks is the answer to the famous kasha of Taisus, Kitnat Manalas. Taisus talks about Chatzim and Chatzim and why he can't marry a Bas Chorin. Those is the kasha, which says he can't marry a Bas Chorin, because the Chatzim after Shemoy. So Taisus says the kasha, you have the Esim Yitchalese, as Moses says, let the Mitzvah be removed, we don't have the Moses of Yekodesh, marrying a Shivchon. So, Tzitzis gives a whole array of different answers. So the Chassidim says he thinks that the embassy answer to the cash is that the cash doesn't get off the ground. It's not asking the host. That's what it means. I'm doing a Maisa Yisra together with the Maisa HaMitzvah. Maisa Mitzvah is Noisha, the Maisa Yisra, the Mitzvah. This is the old Mitzvah Mitzvah. Here, there's no Mitzvah at all. Mitzvah is not looking ever until 9 months later with the children are born. That's a five-way Mitzvah for the rest of one's lifetime. So this is not even Shaykh and Abash, that's in the host today. So it's interesting, Tyson didn't give that answer. Tyson gave three other answers, didn't give that answer. So Tyson sounds like, yeah, well, there is some kind of a, the Maisa Bia is considered to be a Maisa Mitzvah. But if all one of the Chinechatz's famous Yisoy, that the Maisa Bia is not really considered to be a Maisa Mitzvah. This is the reason why the Chassidut explains that the Gemara seems to say in the second reference of Shemamas, that if a person has a child, even the Issa, say a person says, well, the Mamzer versus Bala Erba, and his child is a Mamzer, so that he still fulfills the mitzvah of Berivia. If the child's not Jewish, let's say, Polish, then the evidence is that the kid's not Jewish, but the father's not Jewish, not Jewish. So that's exactly what he performed the mitzvah of Berivia. But if he has a child with a mom, he will perform the mitzvah. In fact, the Chassidus, it's a chav mitzvah of Yaveira, why are you not yet today? So he says that he thinks that that's not really good cash, he says, mitzvah of Yaveira means, but there's a vice mitzvah that's done derech aveira, so that the halacha is not misyachis that vice. The halacha cancels that vice here. The vice, end of the day, the children here, one fulfills the mitzvah. This idea of the mechaschidoch, that one fulfills the mitzvah for a ribbing and not necessarily for a mistro, will becomes helpful in the following discussion. There's a big, big discussion in Siman Aleph and Ebenezer about can one fulfill the mitzvah of Puri Rivia with the child that was brought about into the world, the child was biologically yours, but the child was brought into the world without a nice idea. Let's say, in the days of Chazal, there's only one way to conceive of this. In today's world, there are a lot more ways of doing it, but in the days of Chazal, this was from the Samar of Rampatia, the Bartos once in Sahiga, about somehow that Sarah, the man, but the water and the bath, the water and the bath, afterwards it's there, but there's this whole discussion of Mishnah about is that even real? Is that like, that? The Gemara means that, but it's real. But it's a non-Chazal reality test area. But whatever it is, whether it's not Chazal, it's a discussion, either real or suggested, it's not as that's for sure real. For sure, there's many, many different ways. There's all kind of different methods that could bring a child without the world, without a nice idea of Chazal. So there's a question, is that considered to be fulfilled to Peribarithia? Why should that not be? So in the beginning, we have an answer, so they have to learn to raise the question, is the child willing to skaches achar avin? So we basket that yes. The basket basket that the child is yes the skaches achar avin, even though there's no nice deal. There was a came bottom line came from zera from them, so that's considered to be the man's child. One of the rayas that brings that's it's a very very strange raya from tucked away in the Chasmida. Is it did in the Shach Paul's brother have compass four places in the Chasmida about that that a married woman should not sleep on the same sheets that another man slept on, man not her husband, because this is very, very, very outside Chashash, numbers would be. Rechad El Elf of Elohim, that maybe there was some shit with Zerah, the previous man wasn't their husband on the sheets, and somehow she's going to sleep on the sheets, and Zerah's going to go to her body somehow. They should maybe become impregnated from that zera. So they quote for Rabbi Perez, but the Mishnah that she shouldn't do that. Why shouldn't she do that? What would be the big disaster if she does that? So the Perez says it was turned out that the real father of the child is not her husband. The eldest of Mishnah, the real father of the child is the one who's the zera, and no one's going to realize that who his father really is. And then 20 years later, so this guy is going to end up marrying his sister, marrying his real biological halachic father's daughter, not knowing that it's actually halachically his sister. So it's always a nice advice. That's Rebbe Peretz. It's very, very strange. Far-fetched. Shashlish date did the Rebbe Peretz. So the Shmuel, Yehuda Mezer, quotes this and says, you see from here that the child is Mashiach. He's like, oh, when do you think this is going to happen? Not to happen. But the mice, at the end of the day, you see that Luke would happen. Luke too, the Snachah of the Elf, on the Lofer, that the child would be conceived this way. You see that Rebbe Peretz was concerned about marrying his sister. You see that he's Mashiach. Like, oh, even though there's no mice in being within the man. The man slept on the sheets an hour ago, nothing was ever there, the moon comes. So the Rebbe Peretz says that could potentially be a likely the father. Rabbi Moshe Feinstein, the name of Rebbe Peretz, very, very famous. It's true for many, many years ago about artificial insemination. The original cases of artificial insemination back many, many years ago were involved the questions. He had a married woman, she can't have any children because the husband's not producing zera. So they wanted to know, can they take zera from another man and put it into her? So there was a dual question. There was a question, is that an Isra Mosinoff? That here she's having zera from another nation, the married woman. And number two, how does that impact on the child? The child has to be a mountain. So Rav Moshe, the famous Pesach, we held that both of those things are not concerns. He didn't think it was called Osinov because he doesn't think Osinov is violating the God of Isis Rus. And he doesn't think that the child becomes a mountain because he doesn't think Mamzerus is affected unless there's a nice Isser. So that was a double cool of Rav Moshe. So this was back in the 50s. Rav Moshe gave this Pesach. It's a big, 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 big fight back in America about this Pesach. Certain Rabbanim were vehemently opposed to this Pesach of Moshe, and Rabbi Moshe split his guard. So some of the people who attacked Moshe said, "What do you mean the child's going to be a mountain? The child's going to be a mountain." So they quote some one Achman that says the mountain. Other Achman quote the very obscure sheet is that the child's going to become a mountain under these circumstances, just the fact that the Zera is coming from another man. So Rav Moshe writes in one of his troops, he wrote a few troops about this. One of the troops he writes that he doesn't care what this Achron says, that Achron says. He says, Eimana Eladim Rabbeinu Peretz. He says Rabbeinu Peretz is a Rishon, and Rabbeinu Peretz says clearly that the kid's not a mountain. What do you mean? I read Rabbeinu Peretz says not a mountain. Because Rabbeinu Peretz said the only reason why you can't sleep on the sheets is because 20 years from now, it's Achron Moshech Leisei. One Rabbeinu Peretz said the more serious problem, but the kid's a mountain. If the woman's going to become pregnant, the other guy's there on the sheets. So if those achronim are right, if that creates mamzerus. So one Rebbeinu Peretz say that's the problem. If you make up a story that in 20 years is going to be a shidduch crisis. He says he should have said the kids are mamzerus. So example for that, you see, from he's not a mamzer. The whole thing is not true. That pesach of those other achronim were completely bottled and bundled in the mind of the family of a rishon. The rishon shaped the famous in one way. You don't have to go search for chumers in another way. It was a famous, famous pesach of the Moshe. There's a story that at the time, the Moshe was very upset about this because some people were chepering it, bothering it. Some people even acted inappropriately to Moshe during this period of Moshe. They said he was personally very, very hurt by this. And there was a group of rabbanim that were wanted to go through Moshe and to argue with him about this, and to go through to argue with him and try to convince him to change his psak. So apparently, where the story goes is, and I've heard the story places, the story goes something as follows: that apparently this group of rabbanim that went to the Satmar Rebbe asked the Satmar Rebbe disagreed with Moshe, and they asked Satmar Rebbe, should they go to Rav Moshe and argue with him, sugya, try to convince him to change his mind? So the Satmar Rebbe supposedly said, "If you go to Rav Moshe today for tomorrow," he said, "by the time you can walk out of his house, he's going to convince you that he's right and you're wrong." So he said, "There's no way you're going to beat Rav Moshe. Not a fighting chance. He's going to be able to convince Rav Moshe, and he's going to so show you that he's right that you're going to end up siding with him." But the Maestro Moshe stuck this time. So we assume that the Lord majority of those kids later post assume that when you have all these babies that are born, different procedures, IVFs, and other related kind of procedures, so we assume that the child is Messiah Zachar of it, that's considered to be the full fledged child of the father. So the other thing is that even though it's a full fledged father of the father, a full fledged child of the father, there is a question some wanted to raise that maybe somehow the mitzvah of Puravu is not fulfilled. Because even though it's your child, but you didn't really do a nice mitzvah of Puravu. Let's say what they do today is that, let's say it's not that the father can't produce any zera. Sometimes the father can produce very small amount of zera, and they have to medically touch it up and impregnate and IVF. So kind of nice different ways of doing things today, depending on what the degree of the problem is. So very often the zera will be from the husband, the egg will be from the wife, and the lamb, they'll end up putting two together and cause a conception, and then the male, they'll put this embryo back into the woman's body, and it'll grow like a male pregnancy for the next 9 months. So that's a very, very common thing. Many people have difficulty having children, end up going down that route of IVF today. So there was some who wanted to argue, maybe that's not really the approval. Tell us it's Puruvu, it's Oretz, that means you have to a mice Puruvu, this is Nishke Mice Puruvu. So according to Mechaz Chinuch, this is not true, according to Mechaz Chinuch, there is no Mice Puruvu. By definition, there's no Mice Puruvu. According to Mechaz Chinuch, the Mice of the year, it's like making matzahs, it's like building a sukkah, it's a Hechsher mitzvah. It's not that it's all together. So my nafka mina, when you do the Hechsher mitzvah, there will be the Mice Hechsher mitzvah, like going to IVF clinic and doing it whatever way they tell you to do. At the end of the day, it's yours there. It's our egg, and the baby is formed. We pass it, that's Messiah Chazaka of it. So, my life convenient, whether it was a Messiah, a Nishmai Sevier. That's what the Koitis Mechasid would be. One can argue that even if the Mechasid is not right, even if Tais is right, that there is a Messiah Mitzvah, but it doesn't say the Chumash of the Messiah Mitzvah is. It says, prove it was Lord. The Messiah Mitzvah is to multiply, to populate the world. So, until 50 years ago, there was only one way of doing it. Different ways of doing it. So why is the man will be mitzvah zera? The doctor's telling you, yes, mitzvah zera, whatever shape or form, mitzvah zera. It's a different shot. You do that. They'll take the zera. They'll go to the lab. Take the shuba. They'll put the zera into the woman. Trip. So the man did, but his mice and it was. Doesn't say v'adam shuba shalem or happy. It says prove him starts. So whatever he does, there are rules. It's a mitzvah. And the theory is night. It's a very hard sell to say you're not getting prove. That once we accept the halacha that the child's Messiah Zachar of, to say that you're not yet to remember, I think it's a big shift. So, Jim, you had a question?
Would you be able to say, Jeremy, would you be able to say that for that Shita, then you would also be able to adopt a child, and that would also work?
Because adopting a child, the mice is not your child. There's some who say, some Achmarim say that adopting a child is like a partial Kiva mitzvah. Because the Gemara says that Kol Malavim, and Lavim, and Yadlo, and Yoso, and Kiva, Yoldo, so it's Kiva, so either you say Kiva means just a drush, or Kiva has a little halachic connotation. It's very hard to tell, whenever the Gemara uses the phrase Kiva, say the Gemara says it's called Kais, Kiva, Ogre, and Bezara. So it doesn't mean that if you get angry, that you tray full the wine you touch, doesn't mean you have Kiva for getting angry. So the Gemara says that a person becomes a Balkai, he's Kiva, Ogre, and Bezara. Every time a guy is a Balkai, he's Kiva. Kiva. So obviously Kiva doesn't always mean it. So that's a question. Some Achareim say, from Tumur Rav Singh says that there is a real kiyum, is like a quasi kiyum for a person who can't literally have children, at least to adopt a child. I'm not sure everyone agrees to that, but to say that it's mamish, it's a proof itself, proper, I think everyone would agree. Let's say a person adopted children, and then 10 years later they realize they can have his own children. So that is mechulim and atarim to have his own children. I don't think anyone would say that you were yotzei with the children that you adopted.
Yeah. And that's even if the whole point of Peru was just to raise them to Torah mitzvahs?
To raise somebody else's child. Raise somebody else's child, that's not my. At the very end of the first simon, kind of trying to let the first simon of Ebenezer down. So I didn't say we're going to finish 180 plus the moment of Ebenezer during this Jewish month, but maybe we'll finish simon aleph. So the end of simon aleph, there's a whole discussion about something which is not peruvu proper, but it's touches on issues of peruvu, and that's the issue in terms of how many wives a person is allowed to have. So we know that the Nikra did, and in the Torah, a person is allowed to have more than one wife. And yet we have a practice in our communities that we don't do that. So that's what we call the Chayim of the Kanabrim in the Gershom. So the end is the Manal of Shekhanah. So Shekhanah quotes that those communities accepted that practice and others that didn't accept that practice. All the Ashkenazi communities accepted that practice and only had one wife. And they're in the Sephardic community, so literally they never really accepted that. How can you have such a phenomenon that some communities did accept it, others didn't accept it? So this is a classic example what the Rambam elaborates about at the end of the Rambam, in the Zakdam of the Mishnah Torah to a lesser degree, but the Zakdam of the Mishnah Shnayis to a greater degree about different takonas comments that were instituted prior to Chassidus HaGemara and those that were instituted post Chassidus HaGemara. So the Rambam says that anything that was instituted prior to Chassidus HaGemara was agreed upon by all Chachmei Yisrael, Rov Chachmei Yisrael, Shabbos Yisrael. Because in the days of the Chassidus HaGemara, most of the Chachmei Yisrael still lived in Babel, and therefore all the takanas in the series of Siyog and Babel, etc., that were adopted by Chachmei Babel, became binding halacha l'maisa on all of Klal Yisrael. Let's say literally there was a Jewish community, in Ethiopia, that didn't even know the Gemara was written. So the Rambam says they would still be bound by the mitzvah, by all the dinim of the Talmud, because whoever's part of Klal Yisrael has to listen to the Rav Chachmei Yisrael. So whatever was in Talmud Babel, it was many dinim of Gemara there, Rav Chachmei Yisrael. But says the Rambam, soon after that, so the Jewish community spread further apart, we know that's true, that at this point in history when the Jewish communities of Spain were beginning to flourish, and then the early Jewish communities of Germany, eventually France, Germany, which ultimately became the communities of Eastern Europe, which most of us, our great-great-great-grandparents come from. So those different Jewish communities began to spread out during this time, and there was no longer any central authority. The Rambam describes this as like Rambam to Mishnah Torah, Mishnah Shuvah Derachim, that the roads weren't so well traveled. So this corresponds to the time of the fall of the Roman Empire. And one of the things that the Roman Empire was known for was its very safe and efficient road systems. When the Roman Empire fell, so then most of Europe fell into what we call a secular world called the Dark Ages. So you had a bunch of Mishnagoyim running around. A bunch of Mishnagoyim in the Roman times also. We had even more Mishnagoyim running around. You know, that time for about 400, about 1,000 or so, which was a very, very, almost like a backwards time for the secular society. So the Rambam writes the Feirush, and that impacted a lot on Klal Yisrael, because the Shabshu had the Rochim, that the paths, the ways of travel, the roads were no longer safe. And there was very little, than any real central kind of government that was functioning. And there was a lot of Efkerus. A lot of Efkerus doesn't bode well for the Jewish community either. And the Rambam says that we ended into a period of a few hundred years where it was pretty much each and every Jewish community on their own. But unlike the days of Chachma, this is not a history lesson, right out of the Rambam to Chachma to Perish Mishnayos, to Mishnah Torah, where the Rambam writes that for that period of time, that there was very, very little central authority. And therefore, we had this phenomena where different communities accepted different practices. So the Rambam writes each community on their own. So if the Jews in France and Germany accept the certain Hanhaga, Jews in North Africa are not bound by it, and vice versa. So it was at this time in history where we've been in Geshem. Geshem lived in the early 900s. Rashi's Ben Geshem or Agoyla was Rashi's Rabbeim's Rebbe. So Rashi lived in the end of the middle of the, to the end of the 1000s. So this was two generations before Sin Boki, at the end of the 900s. So just because there was Takonas and Harabim that were accepted by the Jews of Germany, so those were not binding in the Jews of Spain, and the Jews of North Africa, the Jews of Babel. So that's how he ended up this phenomenon that the Chayim de Ben Geshem was accepted by some communities and wasn't accepted by other communities. When we said that there was a Chayim de Ben Geshem, so there's a phrase that many of the Rishonim write, that the Chayim de Ben Geshem ended at the site Elef HaChamishi, at the year 5000. So now we're in the year 5700, and what are we up to? 5783, okay? 782 years ago. So what year was that? Remember? Do the math quickly. 12-something. Okay. Whatever it was. So around then, technically the Chevdu Ben Yeshiv ended. Even though the Chevdu Ben Yeshiv ended at that time, it was reinstituted, not as with its absolute tokef. It was instituted like in Minhag and Haga with the Ashkenazi Jewish communities again. So we kind of re-ratified and reconfirmed that even though the original Chevdu Ben Yeshiv had terminated. Why in the world did Ben Yeshiv make such a funny takana that he made it only for a couple hundred years? Why did he, for us, but we thought it was a good idea. So why didn't he make the Chevdu to last forever? So the Mishkenes Yaakov has a tshuva where he discusses that there are different kinds of Nidin that are instituted. It's also based on Lashon Hara, the Gittin of his Namrim, that sometimes the Chachamim institute something as a siyog, Latinia Tarif, as a religious reason that we're trying to protect, like the Shabbos, Kashrus, etc. And sometimes Chachamim institute things, the Sakan is the Oilam, that it's like a societal Tachana, like Mishnais, the Sikh, the Flipper, the Gittin, they take an Oilam. So says the Mishkenes Yaakov that Chachamim have the right to institute both of those kinds of things, but there may be limitations in terms of their ability to institute them for permanence. So if you're instituting something b'tayras, like you say, you may have more leeway to institute it more permanently. When you have something that's just the sakhanas oilam, so you have to see, is it the sakhanas oilam, is it, you know, maybe this generation needs it, maybe the next generation doesn't need it. So because Yaakov claims that there's much like this in Shonim, whether the takon of Chevdu Ben Yeshiv was made forever or not. So those are Shonim who say that ended the other Chamishi, so they will look at the Chevdu Ben Yeshiv with different sets of eyes. Because you can understand the reason for the Chayim for two reasons. Some will say the Chayim was simply societal nature. It wasn't to protect any Yisurim. It's just that he saw that. It's not Shaya. People fighting with each other in Tzoros. There's a reason why Tzoros and Yerom is called Tzoros. They asked a lot of Tzoros. They asked a lot of fights, a lot of Shalom Bayis issues. So it was that Kana wasn't made to protect Yisurim. It was made to Masachar Asylum. That's one way of understanding it. Or the other way of understanding it was made to protect Yisurim or the Yisurim. The Gemara says the fourth breath of the Yavamas, Le'isa Adam Isha Rabinazov, Isha Ches Minacheres. You're not supposed to have multiple wives in different countries because he's going to have a girl, he's going to have a baby, she's going to have a baby, she's going to have a baby, and they're not going to realize that the babies are siblings, they have siblings to one another. So then he say that the mitigation was worried that since the Jewish community was dispersing a lot, and people moving around, and the communication was very difficult, the roads weren't functioning properly, it was very hard to know what's going on in the next town over, the next country over. So there was a whole kind of potential mishol that if you have people with multiple wives, you end up. So that's a different twist, different understanding of the chayim. So the Mishkenes Yaakov claims that depending on what you think the reason for the chayim was, may affect about how long you think the chayim is able to last. The bias doesn't make much of a difference for us because as Ashkenazi went down, like the original chayim or the re-ratification of the chayim, the Sfarim are not really bound by it, but the bias is against the law, both in Israel and America. So the bias is not too relevant anymore anyway. But in theory, the whole sugya of chayim Yeshiv appears in the beginning of Evan Ezra and Simon Aleph, the end of the Simon about Purple. Okay, I'll miss you. Next year, maybe tomorrow we'll continue with the next sugya of Evan Ezra. Okay? All right?